They're feeling so lost and desperate that they don't know what to do. They've lost themselves. And I don't think many of them are just making a split decision to leave like that. I think most of it is a long erosion of trust and all the other things that go into having a happy, healthy relationship.
Hi, and welcome to Lead Well. Today, my guest is Michelle Heffron. Michelle, you are a certified life relationship and divorce coach, and you support women at some of life's most defining crossroads. And your work often begins even before divorce is on the table. At the moment, a woman starts questioning whether the life she's living still reflects who she is becoming. Drawing on her own experience, your experience, Michelle, of divorce and reinvention, as well as decades of leadership in nonprofit and corporate settings, you help women navigate relationship transitions with clarity, self-worth, and honesty, so women can move forward aligned with who they truly are and what they want next.
Exactly.
Wow. And yeah. I know you are maybe fortunately, maybe unfortunately, experienced in that area. So how could you say that now was the time to change?
Oh, at the time, it's such a rich question because it's filled with a lot of things that led up to it. But I realized in my second marriage that things weren't going well, and it didn't feel like a very healthy situation. I didn't understand back then what that all meant, but I knew that something was just misaligned in what was happening with me. And so I found the courage to move beyond that. I didn't realize it at the time, but the relationship had become quite abusive. Not in that physical sense so much, but in that emotional and the financial pieces of it, there was a lot of control. Well, everything was controlled. And when I finally found the courage to leave, I had become a shell of who I once was. And I was at the bottom. I really lost so much. And I started over completely. I had a daughter in college at the time. And I had a son who was just going into middle school. I have my children are 10 years apart. And I had no idea what I was going to do. So I started on this path of first survival because I really needed to survive. I didn't make out well financially. And so I really needed to figure out what I was going to do next. And it was through that time I ended up hiring a coach because I didn't really know how to do anything on my own. I did. I came out of a very big career, but I had been out of the workforce for many years. And so having to reinvent, I didn't know really what that meant. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. And so it was like a bit by bit, but through it, I was taken into situations in life that I had to learn a lot. And one of them was I started working with victims and survivors of domestic violence, and I was working with at-risk youth, and then later in relationship health education. All of these came through this series of nonprofit opportunities that I had become an executive with and learned how to raise large sums of money and all these things, but I knew I still wasn't aligned with what I wanted to do. And it was through that first coach I started understanding, A, what coaching was all about. And for whatever reason, it struck me is that this is the thing I'm meant to do. And so it took me a while, but I went on the path and I started this whole journey of self-discovery and self-expansion and creating what I wanted in my life, but I also had to learn a lot about what I needed to let go of in my past life that I was no longer serving me in a good way or a positive way. And it was a transition over time. And now looking back at it, I see how it all threads together, but I couldn't have told you that I was consciously moving in this direction. I wish I could say that I was so profound back then that I knew all that, but I see it now as moving into this phase in life where I'm truly doing what I meant to do for now, to serve and help other people grow and expand. And I think I didn't intend to be a divorce coach, but so many people were coming to me for that, that I decided to get specialized in that area just so I could help them on a more deeper level. But it's always transformation from where I work, because I think unless you are transforming through any situation, any transition in life, whether it's after a long career or switching into something different or not being a mother, your children leave home or whatever it is, there's always this identity shift that's happening. And there's a grieving period and there's things that we leave behind, but it's hard for some of us to let go of it. And that's even in the divorce situation, it's moving through that in a way that you can gracefully step in to a new life through the process.
Now, an odd question has come up in my mind, and that is, what age are those women that are thinking about divorce? And I'll tell you why I'm asking that question. First, this question came up when you said this was your second marriage. And then I remember my mom was 40 when I was born and 20 when my brother was born. I had pretty old parents at that time when I was young, which was really unusual. And I remember her when she was in her 60s. I think she was 60 or 62, whatever. She talked to me and she said, "Christine, I never understood how people would consider getting divorced when they are 60, because why would you? You already hang in for so long with that guy, but now I understand." they never got divorced. My parents never got divorced. I have no idea what would have happened if they did. But to me, that sentence really sticks.
Oh, I think it makes so much sense. The phrase is gray divorce. Is that divorce over 50, 55 is the fastest growing segment of divorce in that space. And there's so many reasons behind this. There's a lot of studies that have been happening for this, but many of my clients, not all of them, but many of my clients are in their 60s, having been through 30, 35 year marriages, multi-year marriages. I often call it, I do sometimes a workshop called Divorce After Decades, because it is a different place in life. And so many women are understanding or feeling like they've become invisible in their marriages over the years. They've raised their kids. They've done all the things. Many times they've also had big careers. And there is a general sense of wanting to grow and expand in life. And the husbands are often the ones that are stepping back into their smaller world. I think I see this. I don't know that there's nothing scientific behind this, Christine, but I feel like a lot of men's worlds get smaller. In my area, a lot of people golf and go to the desert and after they retire. And that's not everybody's idea of retirement. And I see more women being more adventurous and wanting to travel the world and see what else is out there and discover new things and new people like you. How do you connect with people like you when we are so far away? But it can happen. And so I think that's where a lot of that disconnect I'm seeing in marriages. And oftentimes I'm seeing things have just come to a point of completion and they're no longer loving, happy, healthy relationship and having fun in those golden years, if you will. They're just more like roommates and they're rambling around and there's no point to the relationship, sadly.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder whether we leave our partners too quickly or whether it's a good thing that we leave as quickly now and we don't have to hang in. I think there are both sides.
Oh, I 100% agree with you. I believe in long-term, happy, healthy relationships wholeheartedly. In fact, I think I'm very much an advocate of great marriages and awesome relationships. Most of the time when people leave, it's not a quick decision. Usually it takes, on average, about 7 years to 10 years. People have some sort of seed planted and they keep thinking something's not right. And it takes until they've just had too much. I have to say that when a woman comes to me, and again, they're not all in this situation, but when a woman comes to me often and she's in this situation, she's really been contemplating this for a very long time. She's usually reached a point where she's in her car. I have more phone calls with women while they're sitting in their cars crying. And these are women who have been accomplished in many ways, all sorts of doctors, lawyers, stay-at-home moms, everything you can imagine. But when they call, they're feeling so lost and desperate that they don't know what to do. They've lost themselves. And I don't think many of them are just making a split decision to leave like that. I think most of it is a long erosion of trust and all the other things that go into having a happy, healthy relationship. And it's certainly not everybody, because I've seen awesome relationships out there. You and I have a common friend, Lori Pappas, and I just got off with her earlier. And one of the things I admire about her and her husband now is that they just have this gorgeous relationship, even in their older years. And so it should be. That's in my mind, if you're going to bother doing it, it gets different. Yes, partners ail and things like that, and we're there for them. But assuming partners are healthy and able to do things, it's nice to be able to have a real connection with the person that you're with, right?
The one question that I ask myself, and when I think about divorcing, I think that if I would go through a separation, my shell, my armor would be even more after that, and I would be afraid to open myself up again, because I think the expectation would be that, yeah, probably worse things come afterwards, not better things.
There's a lot that we sit on and speculate about. And I think one of the biggest parts of all of this is when women are actually making that transition or leaving. Men do it too, but it's usually, it's the majority are women who are leaving at this age. It's trusting that you don't really know all the answers yet. And I liken it to every step of the way is a step, because we get too far ahead of the what ifs. And when we go too far into the what ifs, it's a way to talk ourselves out of the what are the possibilities. And it's very scary. It's a very scary thing to do, because, but I think to your point is that if things are where you want them or into some degree, and that seems like the right thing for right now, then maybe that's the right thing for right now. But when we don't do something because we talk ourselves out of it for the what ifs, what if, or I'm too this, I'm too that, or I'm already putting limitations on myself. And sometimes I think it's a good idea to get a lot of courage. It's a transformation through the process. It's not walking through the door and being the same person as you were. But also, if you're standing in front of the door and it's closed and you're just anticipating the scariness of the monster on the other side of it, you're making the monster bigger than it really might be. I just used this analogy the other day with a client. We have here, I don't know if you guys have it, when this comic, it's called The Far Side. And in the one, it has, I used it as an image for a story I wrote a couple years ago, but it is, there was these astrologers and they're all gathered around and they're looking through a telescope and they're looking at some planet and there's some big, giant, hairy, eight-eyed spider that they're like, oh my gosh, there's a big, and it's giant and it's super scary looking through that lens. But what it turns out to be is there's a tiny little spider on the lens of the telescope. And so it's really, we're anticipating this monster. And actually, yeah, it's a little scary. I don't like spiders, but the story about it is usually much worse than the actual thing that's happening to us.
So what are some of those stories that you have encountered?
Oh, gosh, that's such a wonderful question, because I think there's so many. Some of the ones that just come to the top of mind is like, how am I going to do this on my own? I'm too old to do this. I don't know how to manage money. I don't want to. It'll hurt everybody. It will disrupt the entire family system. Everybody will talk about me. People will think I'm crazy. I'm too old to have anybody who really loves me in my life. I'm not deserving of a better relationship. I'm not deserving of more than what I already have. I've been taught that this was the way it's done. And so that must be. So all of these things are just these coding around us to say, oh, there's no possible way. And one of the biggest ones is really, I'm not worthy of a better life. And I think that's sad in a lot of ways, because all of us, every single one of us deserves a happy, healthy relationship. And most of that starts with one that we have with ourselves. And I think also every single one of us, everyone deserves to have happiness in their life. And when we operate on the shoulds, and this is how it is, and the stories and the limitations, it's harder to find that happiness and joy in that than if we truly let ourselves be who we are and followed our true life. I talk about a lot is it's getting out of your head. You have to drop down into your heart and really ask yourself, what do I want in my life and what do I need? And early on when I'm coaching people who are wanting to improve their relationships, it's starting to learn how to communicate in a way that expresses needs and desires in a way that is non-threatening and in a way that allows partners, if they're willing to, build some reciprocity in that relationship with one another and build love and respect and kindness that is more equitable, where everyone has a part, it's not somebody over the other one.
And now if a woman then makes that decision and says, okay, it's time for me to walk away, what is the very first thing that they should do at that stage?
Yeah, I firmly believe in a collaborative approach to when you're going through something like this. And why I think this, I'll start with that, is that when I went through my last divorce, I thought it was done a certain way, and that was the only way it was done. So I ran out, got an attorney. Turns out I got the wrong attorney. Nice guy, but not the right person, and didn't have the things I needed. I didn't know back then that attorneys are like doctors. They're not all the same. They don't they don't have the same style or all that. I used my attorney as a therapist. I went and complained about all this stuff. It was a very expensive way to get therapy, and they're not equipped for that. Mm-hmm. So I really believe, and they don't really know, most of them, unless they're trained in this area, anything about how to really understand what the financial implications, right? Mm-hmm. They look at spreadsheets and think, oh, that looks fair. you should take that offer. That's actually so wrong, because I think so many women give up so much. And so what my suggestion now is that I do this coaching for a reason. It's mostly because most people need the emotional support and also the practical guidance through it. So I like to start with a lot of that, but also making sure she has the right people on her team, or they have the right people on their team. So they're actually getting a very nice way to go through it. And I also think it doesn't need to be contentious. Now, here in the United States, some divorce is so contentious. It's so ugly. And there's so many things that don't need to happen. And if you got the right kind of guidance and moved through this with a lot more grace, it would be so much easier. I also work with a very specific framework a lot of the times, where I help people understand what it's called VIVID. And the V is for just putting some values to what's going to be meaningful for you. Because I think you have to start with your values and grounded to what you really want in your divorce. I really get into, how do we create intention around this? What's the intention? Do you want to have everybody in a better place through the end of this, so they're stepping into their new lives with confidence and dignity and grace? Or do you want to come through it knowing that you've battled to the very end and somebody's going to die through the battle? Some people, it's winning at all costs. And I just don't believe in that approach. I don't think that serves the greater good or anybody very well. And then we go on to a vision, and creating some kind of a vision so you have a North Star that you're trying to work toward. And of course, all of these things can be really tweaked along the way, but unless we set that all up as a foundation, you can build into and grieve the old identity that you're leaving, because you are leaving behind an old identity. You're not going to be a wife or a whatever it is anymore, and you're stepping into something new and some different. And so I like to help people transform through that process, so they're actually finding their footing and their voice through the process. So it's that identity piece is important. And then the D has three components to it. It's discernment, really making decisions based on discernment, and then getting your decisions clear, and then taking the direction that you're meant to move in. And when you can pull it together in more of a framework like this, it gives you at least some kind of a roadmap to start on. And then also just every day taking a big step backward and not trying to tackle that big list of everything that needs to be considered. There's so much to consider, but most of it doesn't need to be done day one. You always have to work on what's the next best step.
Now, a rather personal question. What has surprised you most about who you became now on the other side?
Oh, wow. I think one of the things that has surprised me most, and this is funny, when I was going to college or university here, they gave us an assessment. And on that, so I was, 18 years old, and they gave us an assessment, and it said, when I took mine, that it tells you where you would thrive or do really well and whatever you studied and move on to in the course of a career or whatever. And mine came up with things like psychologist or therapist or counselor, a philanthropist, some of these things where it didn't sound very appealing to me. So I said, oh, no. I'm going to be a CEO. I'm going to be a news broadcaster. I wanted to be big. And so funny, because every time I got promoted into a new thing or this or that or the other thing, I did well enough, but I didn't love it. It was a lot. And then the aha came when this whole coaching thing came to me. It was handed to me on my lap, and I was able to go through a certification program and everything. And I thought, how funny it is that now I'm doing what they said. And so the funny thing is, it's like the universe going, okay, I see you're going to do it your way. I told you at the beginning you would have been good at this, but apparently you needed to do it your way. And go ahead. And so that to me, I have to laugh when I look back at, because all the other things I've done have really helped me become who I am and what I am today and what I'm doing. But even though it said I could have done that back then, I think that I had to come through a lot of hardships, a lot of learnings, becoming a mom, doing all the other things before I understood what was the gift I had to give the world. And I think that was a surprise to me.
Wow. And what a great thing that now you are giving your gift to the world. So yeah. Thanks for that.
Oh, I love it. I love it though. Yeah.
Wonderful. Michelle, thank you so much for all your insights, your wisdom.
Thank you.
Your wonderful words and your encouragement for anyone out there who feels that they're not in the right place at the moment. Because I think you also work with people not only who are going through divorce, but also other transitions.
Yes. Yeah, very much. And I feel like it is part of my calling, because I do know I'm not the only one out there who wanted help or needed help. And I think it's just one of those things that I love to do. And I know it just makes a difference in people's lives.
And you finally do it now.
Exactly.
You were resisting before.
Oh my God.
Thank you so much, Michelle.
Oh, I'm thrilled. Thank you.
This was Lead Well. Now, what is the one thing that you're taking away from this episode? Please share in the comments below and do share the podcast with your friends and family, but only if you like it.